Good morning. I'm going to wake you guys up. Good morning. Amen. I'm here to celebrate, worship the Lord. Amen. So, we're going to be in Psalm 62. So, if you have a Bible, Psalm 62. Chapter 5, verse 8. And let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that we can laugh in church. We can have a good time and fellowship and get together with one another in different places around and homes and communities and here in this building, Pauline Baptist Church building. And I thank you, Lord, that we can fellowship. We still live in America. This is still a free country. And we just always want to be mindful of that and be grateful that this great country that we live in. We know we got problems, and we do ask that you'll help our leaders and help us. And Lord, you said change really starts in the house of the Lord. So forgive us of our sins, and Lord, as we repent of our wicked ways, we ask that you'll heal our land. Lord, you'll take care of our brothers and sisters over in Ukraine and even in Russia, all those areas, that you'll keep them safe. All the foreign missionaries running around and the military, Lord, we just lift them up to you, wherever they may be in this world. Father, help me this morning teach this. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I title this message, God is Our Refuge. Everybody say refuge. Refuge. So, Psalm 62, 5, 8. Let's read it. It says, yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Everybody said amen? Amen. So this is the topic for this morning. God is our refuge. Do you need refuge? Are you looking for refuge? I would say most people in here, in one way or the other, you're looking for refuge, whether it's psychologically, physically, or spiritually. Now, let me ask kind of a dumb question here, but do our Christian brothers and sisters in Ukraine and around that area, even in Russia, do they need refuge? Yes. Are they looking for refuge? Absolutely. Let's continue, as I'm sure most of you have been doing, is praying for all those folks that's tangled up in that, I say, wicked war. Let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters over there. Let's continue to pray for the folks that are getting saved every day over there. Let's continue to pray that they find refuge, again, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Amen? Let's also remember church family that needs refuge. There's folks in our church family right here, folks in Brooks County, folks in Lowndes County, Cockwood County, Thomas County, the Mercer Association of Churches that we belong to. There's folks in desperate need of refuge. So let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray for the people of our country, the people of America who are desperately, desperately looking for refuge. And some of them don't even know it, but they're in such desperate need. Amen? So let's look at the word refuge. The word refuge in the Hebrew is the word machshe. right? Let's say that real quick. Ramakashe. I just looked that up a couple of days ago, so I'm not trying to impress you. But that Hebrew word right there means, it literally means a shelter from a storm or from danger. That's literally what it means. Okay, so what does the word refuge make you think of? When you hear that word refuge, what do you think of? Maybe it's a building with some big strong locks on it. Maybe it's a thick walled fortress where you have this mind of this powerful big thing that's going to protect you. Or perhaps it's something as simple as a canopy to cover you during a rainstorm. Now, I know it rained pretty good at my house the last couple of days here. Yeah. Lynn and I got out there she kind of pulled a muscle in her back, but we planted little tomato plants in some 5-gallon buckets. It's actually fun. I enjoyed it. And so now I'm over there looking at raised beds and thinking I'm going to get down there and do raised beds. That's crazy, isn't it? But you never know. I might. But we got into about the third or fourth bucket, and I thought, well, I'm going to call my son and see what his wife kind of works on Saturdays every once in a while. She's a pharmacist. And I said, let's bring the granddaughters over and let them get dirty. They're like 4 and 5, something like that. So I called. They zoomed over, and the granddaughters jumped out of the little truck that he has. And they had, and I'm talking about little kids, you know. They had their little garden gloves on. It was so cute. They could run it up, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandma. And so I was showing them how to get the dirt, you know, out of the little wheelbarrow thing I had and put it in the 5-gallon bucket. And then they started looking at their gloves, and they said, my gloves got dirty. I thought that was hilarious. It was so cute. I was like, they're supposed to get dirty. And I didn't tell them what they were actually on their gloves, you know. That's a combination of, you know what, you know. It's pretty funny to me, though. But we had a good time. Anybody else planting anything? Yeah. Tomatoes? Corn? Now you can plant Silver Queen corn in 5-gallon buckets. I'm going to do it. Wait and see. Mess with me. When you hear the word refuge, right, it reminds me of those tornado shelters that I see on TV sometimes. You know, those folks living out in Oklahoma, and you see that they jump in their tornado shelter. And when I hear that word, sometimes it reminds me of, remember during the Cold War where they had bunkers? People started building bunkers and that kind of thing. If you're old enough, you know what I mean. And so that's kind of what I think about when I think about, you know, refuge. Refuge. It's like a shelter from a storm or a shelter from a dangerous situation or a place. I'm going somewhere, so hang on with me. Whatever picture comes to your mind, I think we can all agree that refuge is a safe place. It's a safe place. When the Bible describes God as our refuge, it is saying that God is a safe place for us in the time that we may be in danger or we may feel like something might harm us. God is this refuge that will protect us. Now, knowing God, everybody say knowing. Knowing God and accepting Him as our refuge enables us to trust Him more freely. Now think about this now. Knowing God and then accepting Him as our refuge, it helps us trust Him more freely. And I'm saying it this way, okay, hang with me. If you don't know God, it'll be hard to trust Him. Now you can be saved and born again and not really know God. Yeah, I'm not, you know, being negative here or pessimistic, but that's just the truth. Okay? When we really know God, We don't have to fear situations that come up in our life. When we really know God, we don't really have to fear man and what man can do to us. Here's a truth that I believe with all my heart. There is no situation we will ever face that is out of God's control. So the best place that we can be is right with Him. He loves us. He is in control of everything. Nothing surprises God. Amen? Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." So, how do I make God my refuge? How do we do that? You know, it's easy to picture this big, giant, strong fort or castle or some kind of refuge place to protect us. But honestly, you know, you can't really see God. So how do we really make Him our refuge? How do we do that? David in the Bible is a great example. He's really a great example of someone who knew God as his refuge, as his safe place. Now, at different times, we all know that in David's life, he had people trying to chase him down and kill him. But as it all worked out, David always found safety in God. He always cried out to the Lord. An easy way. Sometimes things are just really simple. Sometimes as human beings, we want to complicate things. Sometimes we want to make things hyper-religious or mystical or all these crazy things. But really, the easy way to make God our refuge is to simply ask Him. And the Bible clearly says, we have not because we ask not. So we need to humble ourselves and ask God to be our refuge, to be our safe place. I mean, David said in the scriptures we just read, pour out your hearts to Him. That's what David did almost all the time. David said, This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. He poured out his heart to God about what was going on in his life and asked God to intervene on his behalf. I guarantee you, most folks in here, most people listening or in this church family right now have situations going on in your life where you just need to simply trust God. I do. Trust God. Pour your heart out to Him and ask Him to be your refuge, your shelter, your hiding place. Now, when we turn to God for help or protection, we begin to know Him as our refuge. The more we turn to Him, the more we quit trying to figure it all out, the more we stop going over the scenarios in our mind of how this is going to work and what should I do, and the more we start turning it over to Him, the more we begin to know Him and the more we begin to trust Him and the more He becomes our refuge. If you know God, it's easier to trust Him. And it helps if you don't forget who He is. Turn with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. And Derry's going to put it up on the board up here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 and 27. 23 and 27. It says, then he got into the boat and the disciples followed him. Verse 23 through 28. Then he got in his boat, and the disciples followed him. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." Let's stop right here a little bit and look at this scripture. We've all read this probably 100 times. But look at this. They got in the boat, disciples followed him without warning. Suddenly, a storm, a bad storm came up on them. And you remember when we went through this in Matthew, you remember the big hills were on one side and the winds would come over and it would just swoop right down on that lake and cause big giant waves. Out of nowhere, they just come out. This is life, isn't it? Just out of nowhere, storms just boom, right in our life. Things are going good, all of a sudden, bam! I mean, for the Ukrainians, things were going well, the country was prospering, it was a beautiful city, and just out of nowhere, this huge storm hits. Guys, this happens to us in our life. Out of nowhere, a huge storm can hit in our life. And if you live long enough, right, you're going to go through a storm. Now look at the disciples. Look at these guys. You know, they came up the lake, so the way says, "Oh, the boat, Jesus was sleeping." The disciples went and woke him up saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." In the counseling world, we call that black and white thinking. In other words, it's going to be this way or it's going to be this way. Period. There's no in-betweens. And that's what they were doing. They didn't say, "Oh man, Jesus, get up. I think it's getting bad weather out here. The boat's starting to rock. I'm starting to get a little afraid." They didn't say, "Hey, this might hurt us. This bad weather, it might cause some damage to the boat. I might be getting a little seasick or something." No, they said what? They said, "We're going to drown." Period. I mean, that was black and white thinking. They were just, "We're going to drown. Lord, save us." And he says, "You a little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it all calmed down. And then, I want to point out this. The disciples said what? The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." So there's two basic things, I think, going on here. One is they really didn't know Jesus. Or they've just forgot who he really was. I mean, think about it. They've been following Jesus. They've been walking with him. They've been watching him do miracles and heal people and all this stuff. So probably for some of them, maybe they hadn't quite got it from here to here yet. Yes, they were following Jesus. They were serving him. But really? Wow. Who is this man? He can actually control the weather, the waves. Whoa, man. Yeah, we knew he was Messiah, Son of God. But I don't think some of them don't think they really got it. Really got it. That this was Almighty God. This was El Shaddai. This was Yahweh. This is Almighty God. They didn't quite get that. Or maybe they did earlier, and all of a sudden, bam, the storm comes in, the storm of life. The really terrible thing hits them, bam. And they just kind of what? under that panic, under that anxiety, under that pressure of the situation that came upon them, just suddenly, they just kind of forgot who Jesus really was. Now, come on, let's get honest. For us sitting here, we love Jesus, been going to church a long time. All of a sudden, a situation out of nowhere hits us, and we go into panic and anxiety and frustration, and we just kind of forget who Jesus really is. Yeah, we know He's our Savior, and right? He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave. We know we have salvation in Him. But sometimes we just kind of, because we're human beings, we're not perfect, we kind of just lose sight of who Jesus really is, man. He is. Amen? So yes, God is our refuge. However, that does not mean He will never lead us into difficult or dangerous situations. Sometimes He will. Jesus led the disciples, we just read, right in the middle of that storm. And Jesus knew that storm was brewing. That violent storm was stirring up. He knew that. Disciples got scared. Jesus calmed the storms. It was their refuge right then. See, when we are in God's will, when we are walking in God's will, which I believe God's will is to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's really what I believe God's will is for my life, and I believe it's for your life too. God's purpose for your life is something totally different, more individual. But God's will, He summed it all up. It's to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In other words, love God and serve people. So I believe that if you're loving God and serving people, we can face any of the most dangerous situations with confidence, because we know that God is with us. Now, if we're out there in our foolishness and our flesh and we're following some kind of, whatever, then maybe God will take care of us in our ignorance and our stupidity. But if we're focused on God's will, which is loving God and serving people, we can have confidence that God will be our refuge. I was watching the news. I'm trying to do that very much, but I got to stay updated on current affairs, right? So I was watching the news, and they had a little story about the Samaritan's Purse over in Ukraine. And it was really impressive. Samaritan's Purse, part of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Ministries, right? Association, whatever. And they do a great work, man. If you got extra money, you want to give it somewhere. But anyway, you do whatever God puts on your heart, but that's a good, effective ministry that's really doing work for the Lord. Samaritan's Purse. But anyway, they're interviewing, the news is interviewing this doctor. And there's a lady, probably middle 40s, about like my wife's age, middle 40s. And, anyway, sidetrack. Help me. What was I talking about? Good Samaritan's Purse lady. She was a doctor, and they're interviewing her, right? And you could just see the peace on this lady. She was right in the middle of it. Bombs going off and rockets, and you could hear gunfire. They had these tents set up, and she just had so much peace on her face and in her body language. She was confident. It didn't look like she was afraid. And that just really impressed me. I was just like, wow. And I was middle kind of getting the message together, and I said, that lady knows that she's in the middle of God's will. She has confidence. She has assurance that she's going to be okay. And she's out there in the war zone providing medical care to all those people and sharing about Jesus. What an awesome thing. She had confidence because she knew she was right in the middle of God's will and serving people who are hurting and who are in dangerous situations. And she knew that God was her refuge. Even if a rocket had landed right there, that lady, I'm sure, knew that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She was willing to even sacrifice her own life if it come to that. But guess what? She knows. She knows that she would be in heaven. So it's a win, win, win for everyone. Right? God is her refuge. Countless times God has led the Israelites into battle against armies that are much bigger than them. When they trusted God, they always came out victorious. So let me close. John 16:33. Jesus told us, "In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Be encouraged." Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." No matter what our circumstances, the safest place to be is always in the center of God's will, loving Him and serving people. Hebrews 13:6 says this, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" He is our strength, my friends. He is our strength. God gives us the power we need to endure hardship as we serve Him. He gives us the power to fight spiritual battles. He gives us the power to resist temptation. He is our refuge. God promises to be our refuge and our strength. Amen. We do not have to worry. We do not have to be afraid. Don't worry and don't be afraid of what you see on the news. God is our refuge. He is an ever-present help in the times of trouble. Those who belong to Him can commit their way to Him. You can commit your way to Him if you belong to Jesus. We can rest in His loving arms. God is saying to us this morning, I believe this with all my heart, God is saying to us this morning to be still. To be still and trust in Him. That He has us in the palm of His hand. Amen. Do you know Him today? Do you know Jesus this morning? If not, the Bible clearly says today is the day of salvation. You can sit right here and ask Christ to come into your life. We're going to sing a song in a minute. And then you can come down here and I'd be glad to pray with you. You can go home tonight. Lay right there in your bed before you go to sleep and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Place your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And ask God to change you. The Bible says you'll be born again. Be a child of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the good news of the gospel. We thank You so much. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted You as their personal Savior, not joining a church or not being religious or any of that, just they need assurance that they're going to go to heaven. They need assurance that they're born again and adopted into the family of God. And heaven is their home. Father, as we sing this song, Father, let them come down. I'd be glad to pray with them and settle that this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.